on 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett. For Prosper, for the money you need for your business, go to prosba.com. And Ferntree Gully Holden and HSV, they're number one for a reason.
Australian rules football is unique and quirky. That's why all aspects of the game needs to be preserved. Keeping the bounce is a decision the AFL football department can be proud of. The umpires claim injury concerns and anxiety and stress related symptoms, wanting the bounce removed from the game forever. The AFL will help them through those issues and support mechanisms will be put in place. But umpires are no different than other elite athletes and sports people. Some aspire to be the best in the best competition, whilst others are happy to be in sport, a rung or several below, for they just love the participation and association. A top finals umpire could earn nearly $200,000 a year. That's the sort of remuneration you could earn if you're at the top of your game. The game at the top level wants the creme de la creme. That goes for players and officials. It's clear now. If you want to be one of the best umpires, work hard on all aspects that include fitness, decision-making, knowing the rules, and being competent at bouncing the ball. The game should not expect anything less. I'm KB. That's my take. I want to give your thoughts also on the bounce being retained in the game, and is that important to you? 9429 1116 0433 98 1116. Ange Postecoglou, press conference now. Here's Ange explaining some of his reasons for stepping away.
I don't think there was kind of a tipping point, although I kind of realised that if things didn't go well last Wednesday, that would have been a tipping point for sure. But it's something I've mulled over for a while. I guess it's just the nature of me as a person, and I really tried to coach, for the moment every time I did, knowing that there's always the possibility it could end at any time. I think I'll always have a sense of unfinished business, but I, to be honest, Jim, I think that would have happened whenever I left. I'm just so invested in football in this country. Whatever role I've had in or out of the game, the football in this country will always be dear to me and my major driver, and I'll always think that I can do something more. But overall, I just, sometimes it's just an instinct that I just think it's the right time for me, it's the right time for the team, for the organisation, and, I think... from that perspective, as tough as a decision it is, and it has been very tough, it just, for me, it feels like it's the right time.
You've always had a burning ambition to coach overseas. Will you look at those options right now?
Yeah, look, I mean, the reality of it is that we've been looking at those options anyway, because, like I said, it could have finished at any time. I want to coach abroad. Part of me, he's pretty keen to get back stuck back into club football, working day to day. I mean, I have loved this job, but it's been all encompassing. I've thrown myself. It hasn't just been coaching the national team. And the bit I still dearly love is the coaching aspect. So I don't want to be unemployed for too long, obviously, but I probably need to have a break with the family and just sort of regather my thoughts and see what kind of happens with the next chapter.
Well, there's Ange not really telling us anything definitive other than he coaches for the moment, unfinished business at any time. He could have left. He's got an instinct at the time now is the right time, wants to coach abroad, and club footy day to day is the sort of coaching aspirations he's looking forward to.
The more you think about it, it's one of the strangest decisions we've ever seen in Australian sport. We've been to 4 World Cups, Kevin. The first of them back in 74, and he has a chance to be the only bloke to coach 2 of them. 7 months, he couldn't wait. And yet, I'm sure at some stage we will find out more about it. A young family and the 3 kids, and he clearly spoke about that toll. Is it a money thing? Is it $3 million from China? Surely he gets that deal next year, if not with that club, with somewhere else. No, I mean, surely his legacy is not tainted by even us losing 3 of those games. So, I'm flabbergasted.
Well, we'll see what the fans think. Was that enough explanation from Ange not fulfilling or seeing through the job all the way to the World Cup in Russia? We'll see what the fans think. Johnny's in Richmond. G'day, John.
Hi, guys. Yeah, look, I think John just said it there. I think the fact that if he was to stay on as coach and lost the three games badly, which more than likely you will, it's like his reputation then goes down like a few notches. So the clubs that probably were looking at him are probably going, oh, is he actually good enough? So the fact that he got him there, like you said earlier, you're a pretty poor country at the moment. Like, the standard isn't really there. You're lucky that you're, like, you know, in Asia. It's a pretty weak spot to get out of to qualify. Plus, like, you're, I think you're ranked like 32nd out of the 32 countries that are there. So, yeah, I think he's playing a smart card here by getting you there and then just moving on. I think it's pretty smart because there's going to be good clubs going after him.
Kevin, could you see, I mean, if we lost all three of those games, as long as we showed some fight, as long as we showed some of the style that we have seen as the hallmark in the last 4 years, I still can't see that his legacy would be tainted in any way.
Well, Trent Sainsbury has just tweeted, I just want to say thanks to Ange for everything he's done in football in Australia and for him personally. He said he gave me my shot with the national team and I can never forget that. The belief and confidence he's instilled in this team that will keep us on the path to great things. So just on the back of what you're saying, Johnny, he's instilling this belief and confidence in the team. You think he'd have belief and confidence in himself.
Yes.
That, you know, we'll get to the World Cup. We don't expect to win the World Cup, but we'll be competitive and I don't think I'll hurt my legacy by coaching Australia at the World Cup and seeing it through with this group of players. So I think what you're saying, Johnny, is thrown in the sponge virtually because he wants to, you know, preserve his legacy. I mean, that doesn't sound like Ange Postecoglou to me.
The only thing that makes sense is if he is announced in the next couple of months in some extraordinary position, not a Premier League position. You know, I know he's been linked to Celtic, but if that occurred, you'd say, okay, this makes sense now. Right now, this makes no sense.
Pete's in Parkdale. Does it make sense to you, Peter?
Not a great deal, KB. I'm kind of gutted at the moment because I thought Ange was going to take us all the way there. And because Ange has played aggressive football since he took over this team. That's why whatever happens next, the next coach has to be an Australian, because any coach that we get from overseas is going to think like that last caller and say Australia should sit back in their box and know their position in world football and just sit there and hope not to get beaten. We need to go to a World Cup and hope to win games. That's what the way Ange played, and that's the way an Australian coach will play, and anyone else will not do the job properly.
Who else out there, Peter, would be a good coach? If it's not for Graham Arnold, and that's what the Jungle Drums have been beating towards, but who else could you see as an Australian coach if not for him?
John, I think Graham Arnold's the man. All right, because I don't think that the way Graham Arnold played his football and the way he will want the Australian team to play will be not to sit there and go, let's sit back and hope we don't cop a goal and then maybe we get one on the counter. I don't think that any Australian coach will do that. And if you take an international coach and you get, you know, like a Roy Hodgson or some idiot like that, they will go, oh, you're Australia, you're not very skillful, we'll just sit back and hope we don't cop a goal and play on the counter. And that's just not the way we need to play.
Well, certainly when Ange took over, I can recall, Peter, that he was saying one thing about an Australian coach is that we're invested in the country, we're invested in the team, and irrespective of what happens, we're always here. Whereas if an overseas coach comes in, Holger or Pim Verbeek, even Gus comes in, they do the job and then they're gone. They're finished. They've got no investment left in the country or the game itself. But if you're an Australian coach, therefore you're going to be far more invested and everything that you do is going to be towards good things for the game in this country.
Does it have any impact on Tim Cahill? You know, you think that Graham Arnold would still realise all that he's got. You know, has Graham come in and say, I'm looking to this World Cup, but moving forward, I'm going to play Djuric and Rogic.
But would Graham Arnold see himself as a long-term coach of the Socceroos? I mean, it's been a four-year journey for Ange Postecoglou. I mean, is Graham at the stage of his life where he's looking to get away from club football and getting back with the Socceroos and spending the next 4 years to the next World Cup, developing the game?
Well, it's still the greatest job in Australian soccer.
This decision by Ange Postecoglou and Cowley fans has taken a lot of people by surprise because Tom Brown of Channel 7 was tweeting not that long ago that, in fact, he was, excuse me,
just losing my voice there, not long ago, that he was tweeting that Ange, his understanding was he was staying.
Yeah, that's right. I think he said his mail and his intuition was that. I think Francis was of the
Leach
belief this morning
was
too.
Tweeting, saying
so
good
this
news.
Is, yeah, this has blindsided a lot of people.
So a lot of people has had a crack at this prior to the press conference, passed that information on to other people, without really knowing, because what Ange said at the press conference is, I'm out.
Well,
I'm
I think even from his own body language and behaviour, and he's on Outsiders on Sunday, and I just think you felt that there was a change in his perception. Bang, the bombshell comes at 9 o'clock on a Thursday morning.
David's in Cranbourne. G'day, David.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Good.
I am gutted, bewildered. I can't understand. It's a joke, and it's going to hurt us. I think we should be looking at maybe at someone totally different, like an Ernie Merrick, maybe. Stay away from Mr. Arnold, because he tried once and couldn't communicate with the team, and they got smashed, and they had a great team back then.
Was he was only a fill-in coach, really, at that stage, wasn't he, in between?
He did the Asian Championships and got smashed. I don't think they won a game. And this was with Kewell and Viduka and the good team. You know, very good team. He's not a communicator. He can't come in and coach a team that's been coached by someone else. I personally don't like him at all. I don't think he's good enough. I think we should be looking at someone like Ernie.
Okay, so maybe Ernie Merrick, who's coaching Newcastle at the moment, says, David, not a fan of Graham Arnold, did win the Premiership last year, of course. Ange's record with the Socceroos, 49 games, 22 wins, 12 draws and had 15 losses from November 2013 to November 2017.
And some more of Ange. I think the best is yet to come. Book your tickets for Russia. 80% of this group are in an age cycle where the next 4 years they'll be at their peak. So again, this is why we would love a really detailed explanation. Maybe he doesn't owe it to us. Maybe he's such an enigma he'll just do his own thing. But that's why it's hard to understand it.
Daniel's on the road, dodging some traffic. He's got some thoughts on a new Australian coach. G'day, Daniel.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Going great. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think they might have to go down like a European or an international coach from abroad. I just feel like, you know, someone that who can really take this group to the next level, like an Ancelotti, who's coached the big clubs in Europe before, maybe even a Gus Hiddink getting back again. But I can't see, like, Graham Arnold or Ernie Merrick taking the reins. I think it's too difficult of a position for them to handle. I think they need someone a bit more world-class than that.
Okay, someone's got to be world-class. Of course, that's what I said before, that when Ange took over, he really talked about you get invested in the job if you live in the country. You're always going to live in the country. Yeah. So you're always going to have the media, or you're going to have, you know, people having a crack at you or talking to you about it. So you're going to do your bloody best, nothing less than 100%, because you've still got to live here after you're no longer the coach of the Socceroos. Whereas the others, of course, can head off and go back around the world somewhere. This is what Ange said as we go to the break. We'll come back. We'll take more of your calls. Asked if he's spoken to the playing group.
No, I haven't spoken to the players. It would be impossible for me to do. I just, I couldn't face them and speak to them about it. And you know, to be fair, their journey continues. And you know, I'll contact them all. Today at some point and reach out to all of them, but yeah, I'll be looking on from afar. I'll be their biggest supporter, and I've got no doubt that come Russia they're gonna do some damage.
On Hungry for Sport, which magical moment caught your attention over the weekend? The Buzzer's Buzz Beater.
Well, let's get the Buzzer Beater and the crystal ball, and then straight back to our callers. A lot of people really want to have their say about Ange Postecoglou.
Cam Bancroft, he is the Buzzer Beater.
Buzzer Beater.
Now, he only averages 39 over 66 first-class games, but he's only 25. He knew it was an audition, and he came out in his last two Sheffield Shield games, 76 not out and 86 against New South Wales, and then that big 2-2-8. So he knew the score, he knew the parameters, and he went out and went big And as a result, he's in the first test team. And my crystal ball. Well, the next task now for Stephen Hocking is to fix the MRP. Now, I think what we will likely do see is have two MRP sittings. You know, if there's a big incident from a Thursday or Friday night, I think maybe they'll sit on a Saturday morning and then a Monday for the rest of the cases. And I think there has to be some mechanism to take line ball incidents to the tribunal without players losing their discount. There's about 10 incidents a year, which I think, gosh, I'd love to see this taken to the tribunal so we can get a line in the sand. You know, that can be the line for the next 5 years. Dangerfield sling on Cruiser, Cochin on Dylan Scheel. They were the ones where the MRP made decisions, and you thought, I'm not sure about that. So what the mechanism is, what that facility is, I'm not sure. Go to the December Commission meeting, and we will have some sort of overhaul of the tribunal.
Well, there's the crystal ball, and there's the buzzer beater. Also, Matt Winley has joined us, the Herald Sun soccer journalist. So, g'day, Matt.
KB, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, but to say that I'm on now with John Ralph is just a pleasure.
Hey, Matt, just before we go back to our callers, everyone's got an opinion on Ange Postecoglou. It seemed this morning a lot of people were still tweeting this morning that he was staying on. What were you hearing in the early hours of this morning? Did he still, you know, somehow surprise most people by announcing his resignation today? And also, who's the replacement?
First question, no, never wavered once in that he was going to quit because as John Ralph would appreciate, you know, when Dave Davidovic broke that story last month, he was really definitive and he wouldn't put his reputation on the line writing a story like that saying that Ange Postecoglou was going to quit if he didn't think that it was 100% true. So I've never wavered from thinking that he was going to quit. And when I saw that email this morning saying that him and David Gallop were at a press conference, I knew straight away that he was clearly going to be quitting because why would you have a press conference to announce that you're just fulfilling your contract? You just continue on as possible, as you know, planned with a press release and everybody continues on. So,
Matty, is the one defining reason why he's leaving? Or if not, what are the three or four things you think that have factored into a massive decision?
Look, I think there's still a lot more to give after that press conference. He was still pretty vague. He's saying that there's a lot of personal reasons. He's put in a lot of personal sacrifice into this job. And, I couldn't agree more that that is part of it. But I think that the clear intimation is that there's been a lot of forces behind the scenes that, that have been at play. He insists that his, you know, relationship with David Gallop and Stephen Lowy is strong, but I think there was a little bit of a straining in that relationship a couple of years ago when Ange came out in support of the players around the collective bargaining agreement and then was pretty much brought back into line by his bosses at FFA. And since then, things have been a little bit strained, whether that's had any part to play in it, and also too, this all FFA political Congress stuff has had a part to play too, I'm not sure. There's been a lot of media scrutiny on him and speculation. I think it might be just, you know, I don't know if there's necessarily one defining thing. I think it's all of these little things adding up, and maybe a little bit of self-doubt's crept in, and he thinks that someone else could do the job a bit better. And to your question, KB, in terms of who the successor is, I think the pretty clear inclination from FFA is to go Australian, and therefore for mine, I mean, I think Graham Arnold is pretty much the only one that's going to get the job, to be honest, Sydney FC's coach. And you'll see a mirror image of what happened with Melbourne Victory 4 years ago, them losing a coach in the start of the season, which was Ange, and then now it'll be Sydney FC, who won the FFA Cup last night, potentially losing their coach in the next month or two with Graham Arnold going to the Socceroos.
Well, he said at the press conference, David Gallop, there's no rush on finding replacement. So he says there's no rush.
Take all the time
World
you
Cup
need.
Is 7 months away, so I there's no rush. But is Graham Arnold, is he in for the long haul? We just heard Ange talk about it's been a long 4 years. So is Graham Arnold in for the World Cup and then the long haul of the next 4 years, or is he in for the World Cup and then back out of the World Cup, back to club footy?
No, I imagine him being for the long haul for two reasons. One, he really wants the job, and you could tell that straight away. And, you know, when Tim Cahill went down playing against Sydney FC a couple of weeks ago, the first 3 minutes of Graham Arnold's press conference after that game was talking about Tim Cahill and what it meant for the national team. And you got the sense there that he was worrying about what that meant for his chances of going to Russia, him personally. But also, too, 6 months after the World Cup, we have the defence of our Asian Cup crown in the United Arab Emirates. So you're going to want a coach, at the very least, for 12 to 14 months to take us to those two massive tournaments, and then maybe, you know, you can think about a new coach potentially, but I would imagine that any appointment made would be with a view to them staying on for 4.5 years right through to hopefully the 2022 World Cup in Qatar.
A lot of SMSs coming through, I must say. I know we're down here in Melbourne, not big fans of Graham Arnold in Melbourne. Not big fans of Graham Arnold. Just one final one, it's a side note, the Matildas take on China tonight at Amy Park tonight. obviously this announcement won't detract actually from the game, but no. May take away a little bit of focus. But Matulas are firing at the moment, and Sam Kerr, of course, is the number one player in the world.
Are they probably our most loved national sporting team at the moment? There is a lot of love for them, and Sam Kerr is potentially, outside of Tim Cahill, the biggest name in Australian football at the moment, maybe Aaron Moy as well. So I'm really excited about this. First time in a long time that the Matildas have played an actual standalone game in Melbourne, and got a, especially on an absolute cracking day in Melbourne, urged Victorian sporting fans to get along to Amy Park and break the records that were set up in Sydney last month. I think 15,000 in Penrith and 16,000 in Newcastle to watch the Matildas against Brazil. So China is a big name in women's football. They're in the top 12 to 15 in the world. They're one of our biggest Asian rivals. So it's going to be a dinky-dye contest at Amy Park tonight. Can't wait to see it. And, yeah, hopefully Sam Kerr scores and we get to see our trademark backwards as well.
Big day in soccer and sport. Thanks for that, Matt. Really appreciate it. We'll speak soon.
No dramas, KB. Always a pleasure.
Remy's in Coburg. Let's hit the lines. He wants to talk about Ange. G'day, Remy.
Yeah, good morning, Kerr.
What's your thoughts, Remy? What do you make of tonight's or today's announcement, I should say?
It's not big surprise because he's quit the job because he can do nothing when they go to the World Cup. He did it already once, but did not get one win. The second time now to the Russia when they go, they will not get the against Norway. Of course, it's just better to quit to get the twice to go in the World Cup and no one win again.
Remy, it's interesting you say that he's been, you know, he would have been there twice. This was his team. I understand that he didn't qualify, so I understand that he would have been excited to be at the World Cup, but surely he would have felt some satisfaction to bring this new group together, win the Asian Cup, and then the fulfilment of this four-year period is the World Cup with his team, which he qualified, but maybe not.
It's going to be interesting just listening to Ange. Appreciate your call, Remy. You know, just talking about the amount of work, obviously, in being the World Cup coach, but he's away from the day-to-day work, of course, of being a coach with his in a national competition. But there's obviously a lot of work in being the World Cup coach. So I'm interested to see whether or not, you know, whether Graham Arnold wants that job for the next 4 years, or he's going to be like Ange, you know, you just miss the cut and thrust.
Is it like when you're the Australian cricket captain? You're tapped on the shoulder. It's something you've aspired to, you've dreamed of. You know, imagine I could be there as a player, then a coach. Pretty hard job to knock back.
Well, if you can come up with someone better than Graham Arnold, give us a call and tell us. We've got a lot of callers online. We'll get to you after the break. And also, we want to know, we'll try and find out definitively whether or not the soccer fans in this country think that Graham Arnold is the person to take us through to Russia and then going forward for the next 4 years. No rush, says David Gallup, in naming the next Socceroos coach. Straight back to our callers. The Buzz, Johnny Ralph, has joined us all thanks to Eco Garage Doors. And Len's in Ivanhoe. G'day, Len.
G'day, Kev. As far as I'm concerned, it's perfectly logical, and I wish him all the best, and I can't understand why people are getting upset. He wants to coach. The world's screaming out for a coach who can produce a good, positive brand of football. People like Sam Allardyce, you can buy them for a dime a dozen to park the bus and you still get relegated. And I think he wants to coach in June, July and wants to have a break, or maybe he's waiting for some jobs to open up in January. And people like Bosnich and so on who knifed him in the back because they're paid as they are for being colourful, I think that might have had a small bit to do with it, but I don't think he's a small man, Postecoglou. I think he's perfectly logically expressed himself, and who wants to get on a plane for the next 6 months to track all these players when nothing's going to come of it until the World Cup begins? I mean, it's perfectly logical to me. I don't know who the new coach would be, and I don't have any idea, but as far as he's concerned, I think it's very logical.
But do you think, Len, when he first took on the job, Ange Postecoglou, and obviously left Melbourne Victory to take on the job as Australian coach, that he knew all of those things that you're talking about? It's a big, big job, travelling the world, watching players, getting through a qualifying stage, getting to the World Cup, taking us to Russia. Did he not sign on for that?
Yeah, but I think it's got an effect on you with your family and all that sort of stuff, and that might be a small contributing part to it. But, I mean, the guy wants to coach. He doesn't want to be on a plane. He wants to coach.
Follow the money. Well, follow the money.
I understand what you're saying, Lynn. My thoughts on that is that everyone tells us, you know, this is the biggest sporting event on the planet, you know, bigger than the Olympic Games. Everyone tells us that now, bigger than the Olympic Games. And you think that if you were going to take your national team and play at a World Cup, the biggest sporting event on the planet, that, you know, that's a sort of a sacrifice that you make in your life.
What is he paid?
I've got no idea. But I can understand what you're saying, Lynn. And obviously it has got to him over that period of time, no doubt about that. Just quickly to Andy on the road. G'day, Andy. Next Australian coach.
Well, first, well done to Dave Davidovic. He broke this a couple of months ago. But I don't know who the coach is, the next one. But it's a massive, massive decision. I just hope the FFA have the money and the nous to pick an A-plus tactical coach, because we're going to be in the... We're in the bottom pot of the World Cup.
Yeah, look, we're coming right up to the 10 o'clock news there. Andy,
$1.4 million US he's paid. So is he looking for more cash? Surely not.